The example is given of Krishna and gopis. Krishna played the fifth note of his flute under the Bamsiva tree on bank of the holy river Jamuna. And the gopis, they all left their houses, all the shelter of their material securities, and they came to Krishna only for his service, to give him enjoyment. Krishna told gopis that it is very dark, late at night, and it is dangerous in the forest, and many of you have husbands and children, and I'm a young man, you should not be alone with me, you should all go home. But the gopis would not go home. They began to draw lines on the ground with their toes and looked down, began to weep and cry, because they knew in Krishna's innermost heart he wanted to dance with them. So they disobeyed his instruction only for his pleasure. This was the nature of the transcendental love of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. On this particular year, Shivananda Sen was making all the arrangements for the devotees to come to Jagannath Puri. It was decided that that year all the wives of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya would also come to serve Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the wives were very expert at cooking the wonderful prasad that Lord Chaitanya liked. They knew exactly what type of preparations he was most pleased with. So they began to collect all the various ingredients from Bengal to bring to Puri. Raghava Pandit, he and his sister Damayanti, they were preparing for the journey to see Lord Chaitanya. In their kitchen in Panihati, they prepared so many preparations. There's practically an entire chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita just describing the details of what spices were in each preparation. The sister of Raghava Pandit was so conscientious in how she would cook. She was completely immersed in meditating on every bite that Lord Chaitanya was going to take and what he would want next. After he takes this type of sabji, what type of sabji will he want to taste next? What type of grain would he want to taste next? What sweet should I make for this particular combination? And after he eats this, he may get indigestion. Therefore, she prepared a particular type of shukata, which is very, very bitter and heals the problem of indigestion. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would take that, it would taste millions of times sweeter than nectar, even though it was bitter, because he could taste the sentiments of the love of Damayanti as she would cook. After making, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, she prepared hundreds and thousands of preparations. And each preparation, individually, she would place it in a special type of cloth bag and seal it so that it would remain perfectly fresh throughout the journey. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that if anyone hears the content of the bags of Raghava Pandit, that person will without doubt achieve ecstatic love of Krishna. So so you may want to study this chapter. It took 3 servants to carry these bags. They brought them to Jagannath Puri. As the devotees were traveling, Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, all of these devotees, they were just having kirtan all the way. In any place they traveled to, all the villagers, all the towns, they all became so attracted to this wonderful kirtan. The entire 3 worlds were purified by the kirtan of the devotees as they were chanting and dancing in expectation of seeing the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Everywhere they went, whoever saw them, the entire village would raise their arms, dance in happiness, and chant Krishna's holy name. On the outskirts of Puri is a place called Kamalapur. From there, one can see the flag on top of the chakra of Jagannath's temple. The devotees all offer their obeisances in great love. Then Advaitacharya sent a messenger to tell Lord Chaitanya that the devotees are just about to arrive. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, within his heart, he could understand that they were coming. So he took his associates and sent them ahead to greet the devotees. It was at the place called Ataranala, a bridge, just as you're coming into Jagannath Puri, that Swarup Damodar Goswami, Govinda, and other devotees came and greeted Advaitacharya and others by offering them garlands, offering obeisances. And then, amongst all of the Vaishnavas of Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that place. When all the devotees of Puri saw the devotees of Bengal, they offer their obeisances, and the Bengali devotees offer their obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally offered his obeisances to each and every devotee and embraced them. And all the devotees were offering obeisances to each other again and again and again and embracing each other. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Advaitacharya, they both offered obeisances to each other, embraced and began to bathe each other with tears of ecstatic love. As everyone was bowing down and embracing, everyone was serving and respecting, glorifying everyone else, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms and said, "Everyone loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." As the hundreds of devotees of Puri and the hundreds of devotees of Bengal met, they were just in ecstasy to be in each other's association. The kirtan was utterly tumultuous. The ecstasy of reunion with the Vaishnavas, when devotees meet with love after being separated from long time, it is the cause of the most wonderful celebration. Their hearts were dancing. Ramananda Rai has said, "Separation from the association of devotees is the only pain I know." Srila Prabhupada wanted that there be big festivals where devotees from all over come together. This is the greatest joy of the heart. And when devotees come together, how do they celebrate? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates taught us the process. Through raising your arms, dancing in happiness, and loudly filling the entire universe with Krishna's holy name. Lord Chaitanya was personally dancing with them. Then he asked Kashi Mishra and others, bring the garlands of Jagannath. Hundreds of garlands were brought with sandalwood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after bowing down, he personally put a garland on the neck of each and every devotee. He personally, with his own hands, he took the sandalwood and decorated the bodies of the limbs of the devotees. Meanwhile, the wives of his personal associates were just close by, weeping tears of ecstatic love, worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Each of these wives were expansions of the goddess of fortune herself. Their hearts were filled with the same ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify them. He said, the knowledge and devotion of these saintly ladies are every bit equal to the glorious devotion of their husbands. The ladies, their hearts melted by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, merged in the ecstasy of love of God, simply wept and loudly chanted Krishna's holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach a very important lesson through this pastime. How one must humbly honor and serve devotees. What is the position of a Vaishnava? Lord Chaitanya revealed. A sannyasi is in the highest position within society. If a person takes sannyas, even that person's father bows down at his feet. The whole society, if they don't bow down to a sannyasi, according to the scriptures, they must fast that whole day. Lord Chaitanya was a Brahmin and a sannyasi. But he completely cast aside his social status. And he himself bowed down and personally served with his own hands all the Vaishnavas. As Lord Chaitanya was serving the devotees and the devotees were serving and bowing down to each other, there was no consideration of who is of a high caste and who is of a low caste. Who is wealthy and who is poor. Who is learned and who is illiterate. These considerations cannot come into the mind when we are honoring and respecting sincere devotees. Lord Chaitanya, by the material standpoint, was a sannyasi and a Brahmin. From the spiritual point of view, he is the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead. yet he was humbling with all respect, bowing down to the devotees and personally garlanding them and serving them like a menial servant by putting sandalwood on their bodies. And the devotees, upon receiving this mercy, they would fall down at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with tears in their eyes and pray, "My dear Lord, please grant us this benediction that we never forget you, that we always remember your lotus feet." Birth after birth after birth. We are not concerned whether we take birth as human beings, animals, or birds. But in any birth we take, let us always have the association of your devotees, and let us always remember, in a mood of worship, your lotus feet. Then the devotees were all taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the lake called Narendra Sarovar. This was the day of a great festival, when the Vijay Murti of Lord Jagannath, called Sri Govinda, as well as Krishna and Balaram, are taken on palanquin to have a boat festival in Narendra Sarovar. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were having wonderful kirtan. Then Jagannath and his devotees came on a procession having kirtan, playing so many auspicious instruments. When the two camps met, the ecstasy increased immensely. The two kirtans merged into one. Everyone was chanting and dancing. They brought the beautiful deities of Krishna, Balaram, and Govinda and put them on the boat. As they were sailing to the various parts of the lake, the devotees were struck with great, great happiness. There were hundreds and hundreds of chamaras to fan the deities. What is the pleasure of a devotee? To see Krishna enjoying. This is the idea of deity worship. We are all so selfishly centered by our material conditionings. How do we free ourselves of that? By making wonderful arrangements for Krishna's pleasure and by taking enjoyment in seeing Krishna pleased. And the greatest unity amongst living beings is when we come together to make arrangements for Krishna's happiness. On wonderful festivals for today, sometimes dozens and dozens of ladies are making garlands. Other devotees are making sandalwood. Others are cleaning. Some of the devotees are sewing clothes for the deities. All these things are simply meant for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Dozens of devotees are downstairs right now working together to cook a wonderful feast for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his appearance day. Many of our ladies worked day and night preparing jewelry and clothing for all of our deities. So many wonderful arrangements. And what is the culmination of all of our efforts? When we see Radha and Krishna enjoying. Tonight we will have Abhishek of Sri Sri Gaura Nithai. The happiness of our hearts should be to see Krishna enjoying, hundreds of people chanting his holy names and praising his glories, getting offered hundreds of preparations of delicious foodstuffs, new clothes, wonderful bathing ceremony. This is our joy, to come together and live together to give this pleasure to Krishna. The devotees were in ecstatic bliss to see Govinda, Krishna, and Balaram riding on their beautiful boat through the holy waters of Narendra Sarovar. And meanwhile, the tumultuous kirtan of the holy name was resounding in all directions. At a certain time, Lord Chaitanya jumped into the water. All the devotees jumped into the water. In great happiness, they began to play the traditional Bengali game, Kaya Kaya. They started calling out, Kaya Kaya! They started to splash each other. There was so much splashing. Lord Chaitanya was splashing. Devotees were even splashing Lord Chaitanya. Different devotees were splashing each other. And as they were splashing and splashing, there was the continuous sound of the devotees chanting, Kaya, Kaya!
Kaya!
The happiness of the Vaishnavas. After this wonderful boat festival at Narendra Sarovar, devotees, in great love, they went to the temple of Jagannath. There Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received garlands from Jagannath and personally placed them on the necks of all of the devotees. As the devotees were seeing Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya looking at each other, they considered this to be the ultimate perfection of their lives. Here is the stationary Jagannath, and here is the moving Jagannath. They have both descended to this world to give love of God to everyone. The stationary Jagannath, anyone who comes to see him and worships him with a sincere heart will get love of God. But the moving Jagannath is going everywhere throughout the world and sending his messengers to give love of God everywhere by inducing everyone to accept the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of Krishna's holy name. That is the echo of the immovable objects. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya gathered with all of his devotees in the Jagannath temple. There is a kirtan hall called Jagamohan. Lord Chaitanya ordered all of the devotees to begin kirtan. He personally divided the kirtan into 7 groups. Each group had a lead dancer, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas, Swarup Damodar, Vakreshwar Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Raghava Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya. Lord Chaitanya invited everyone to start chanting. There were 14 mridangas, dozens and dozens of kartals. The kirtan was louder and louder. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself in each of the 7 groups. Each group was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is with us. And as the kirtan was bringing so much happiness to the heart of the Lord, he came in the middle of all the groups and he began to dance. As he danced amongst all the other devotees, the entire world began to tremble. The queens of Maharaj Pratap Aruja, as well as his ministers, on the
on the balconies of the palaces were looking down, struck with wonder to see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's dancing. Lord Chaitanya began to pray by reciting a verse, "Let my head fall down to the ground in the auspicious kirtan hall of Lord Jagannath called Jagannathan." As Lord Chaitanya began to dance, he raised his arms very high and told the devotees, "Louder, louder, louder, chant Krishna's name." He raised his arms very high. His arms were like two golden pillars. "Hari Bol, loudly chant the holy name." Lord Chaitanya fell to the ground unconscious. There was no breath in his body. Then the next moment, he again began to dance. So beautiful was his dance. What kind of ecstatic symptoms! His hairs, every hair on his body stood on end like the thorns of the flowers of the Shamuli tree. Have any of you seen Hare Krishna? Blood and perspiration simultaneously poured out of every pore of his body. One moment his body would become swollen and fat, the next moment it would become lean and thin. And he was so choked up at one point. All he could say was, "Jajagagaparimumu." "Jajagagaparimumu." In ecstatic love. This kirtan went on throughout the entire day. There was dancing and dancing, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for not even a moment would he stop kirtan. He was dancing and dancing and dancing, jumping and twirling. Hours and hours until the late afternoon. All the devotees were utterly exhausted, but Lord Chaitanya continued dancing in ecstasy. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu caused everybody else to stop chanting until Swarup Damodar Goswami alone was singing a very soft, gentle kirtan. When the tumultuous echoes of the roars of the holy name subsided and there was just a short, very soft kirtan, Lord Chaitanya came back into external consciousness, where he could recognize the external world. Then they asked him that the devotees are exhausted. Please let us take rest. So then Lord Chaitanya brought all the devotees to the sea where they took their bath. And then they all took prasad together. Lord Chaitanya returned to Gambira and he laid right at the door. It was the regulation that each day Govinda, his servant, would massage the feet and the legs of Lord Chaitanya. But because Lord Chaitanya was laying right in the doorway, Govinda could not reach his feet, because Lord Chaitanya was blocking the way. Govinda said, "Please, my lord, move slightly aside so I can go into the room
to massage you.
Lord Chaitanya replied, I am too tired.
Govinda, a few moments later, said, My Lord, can you kindly move?
I am too exhausted. I cannot move my body.
My Lord, how will I massage your lotus feet if you do not move?
Do whatever you want to do.
Govinda took a piece of Lord Chaitanya's own cloth and placed it over his body. With great reverence, he crossed over the Lord's body, entered into the room, and massaged his legs and his feet very gently, also massaged his back. Lord Chaitanya rested there for 45 minutes. Then he awoke. He saw Govinda was still in the room massaging his feet. It was the regulation that Govinda, he would fast until he completed his seva to the Lord. After massaging for a few minutes, he would go to get his food. Lord Chaitanya asked, in an angry mood, Govinda, why are you still here? Why have you not taken your prasad? Govinda replied that because you're blocking the door, I could not cross over you. It would have been an offense. Lord Chaitanya said, But you crossed over me to come into the room. Why didn't you cross over me to come out of the room? Govinda remained silent. But in his heart, this is what he thought, that you are my worshipable Lord. I am willing to commit innumerable offenses and suffer hellish reactions for all those offenses, if that is what I have to do to serve you. But I am greatly fearful of committing even a fraction of one offense for my own sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya was especially pleased with Govinda. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orchestrated this entire pastime just to glorify Govinda and show the world the nature of his pure, unalloyed devotion. A devotee is willing to even accept hellish misery if in that situation we can serve and please the Lord. But for our own sense gratification, we should not be willing to even commit the slightest deviation. Srimad Bhagavatam explains the supreme occupation for all humanity is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Through this pastime, Govinda taught us what is the ultimate perfection of consciousness. Damodar Pandit came from Bengal. If you remember, he was sent to take care of Sachi Devi. He came along with the devotees of Bengal on this particular party. Lord Chaitanya took Damodar Pandit to a secluded place and asked him, You have seen my mother? Is my mother devoted to Lord Vishnu? Damodar Pandit heard this, he became angry.
Why do you ask this question?
Is your mother devoted to Lord Vishnu?
Your mother is the very personification of devotion to Lord Vishnu. Why do you even ask? It is only due to her mercy that you have any devotion to Lord Vishnu. Without her, you would have no devotion.
Sachi Mata, her eyes are always filled with tears of love. Her limbs are always trembling in devotional happiness. Anyone who even repeats her name with a sincere heart will achieve true devotion to Lord Vishnu. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became filled with happiness. He began to embrace Damodar Pandit again and again and again. He said, "What you are saying is true, Damodar Pandit. Whatever devotion I have is only by the mercy of my mother. She is the source of all my devotional qualities." Then Lord Chaitanya began to inquire from some of the residents of Navadvip about the welfare of his relatives. He asked them, "Do they have auspicious lives?" Then Lord Chaitanya began to explain, "What is an auspicious life?"
"Bhakti. If you have bhakti, your life is all auspicious. If you do not have bhakti, your entire life is inauspicious."
Lord Chaitanya said, "If you are so poor that you have practically no clothing, you have no money, you have no security, you do not even know if you're going to get food that day, if you have devotion to Krishna, your life is supremely auspicious and you are considered to be the wealthiest person in all of creation. However, even if you are a great king with so much treasure of material opulence, if you have no devotion, you are in utter poverty. Bhakti is the only goal of life. Where there is bhakti, everything is all auspicious. Where there is no bhakti, everything is utterly inauspicious. We should not be carried away by the temptations of this world. We should not be envious of someone who has something material that we do not. In fact, the Shastras explain that gold is the standard of most currency throughout the world. It is the basis of wealth. Gold that is not offered in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is compared to yellow stool. Your stool is yellow when you are diseased with jaundice. Devotees see material wealth with this vision. There is no attraction. We are attracted to humility and devotion. And whatever wealth can be utilized with humility and devotion, that has great value. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even want to look at the face of anyone who did not have bhakti. He considered bhakti the only wealth in all of creation. And therefore, as the greatest, most charitable welfare worker of all living beings, Lord Chaitanya distributed the supreme wealth of bhakti everywhere. And to all of his followers, he has asked us, prayed to us, begged us, "Please, the world is spiritually starving. In Kali Yuga, there's poverty everywhere, in the north, south, east, and west. distribute this great wealth of bhakti. And how do we do this? The first and greatest of all the 9 processes of devotional service is to constantly chant Krishna's holy name. Many devotees were inviting Lord Chaitanya to their homes for prasad. They had so much eagerness. By serving the Lord with humble devotion, we please the Lord. That is the means of the perfection of life. Crowds of devotees came to offer Lord Chaitanya invitations with tears of love and reverence in their eyes. Lord Chaitanya told them, "I will only eat in the house of that person who is a master of 100,000. All of the devotees became very sad. They turned to the Lord and reveal their hearts. 100,000 gold coins? We're just simple devotees or Brahmins. We don't have much of anything. We don't even have 1,000 gold coins. If you do not come into our homes and bless us, then our whole lives, our homes, it is all useless." Lord Chaitanya replied, "Please understand what I mean by 100,000. One who chants minimum 100,000 names of Krishna, he is called the master of 100,000. And I will not take prasad at the house of anyone unless they are chanting the holy names according to this strict vow." The devotees became so happy, each and every one of them. There were also learned Brahmins. They were all making a vow at that very moment, "My Lord, from this day on we will chant 100,000 names of Krishna every day. Please come to our house for prasad." And from that day on, all the devotees began chanting 100,000 times the holy names of Lord Krishna. Of course, the acharya adjusts things according to the time and circumstance. Srila Prabhupada, as well, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they took Lord Chaitanya's pure unadulterated teachings and made it practical for the people of the world. The same benediction Lord Chaitanya gave to his associates who had to chant 100,000 names, Srila Prabhupada gave to those who would chant at least 16 rounds every day. 100,000 names is about 64 rounds. By following this instruction of chanting minimum 16 rounds every day and engaging in devotional service following the regulative principles, we get the same result as chanting 100,000 names, because we are surrendering to the order of Lord Chaitanya's intimate loving servant, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained on so many occasions that because for many people 100,000 names is very difficult, anyone who is sincere could very easily chant 16 rounds every day. Therefore, we have fixed it at this. And it is the supreme, most important of all the instructions he has given us to attentively take shelter of Krishna's names every day through our japa and through the congregational chanting. One day, Lord Chaitanya approached Keshav Bharati Maharaj, his sannyas guru, and asked him, which is better, bhakti or jnana? Keshav Bharati replied, after considering this question and thinking, my conclusion is, bhakti is better. Lord Chaitanya said, if bhakti is better, then why so many sannyasis are preaching about jnana? They are saying that impersonalism is better than personalism. Can you explain why they are like this? Keshav Bharati replied, because their consciousness is stolen by illusion. They have not understood the real conclusion of the Vedas. All of the great scriptures teach us that the path to the highest truth is Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta, to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Shukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Brahma, Shiva, Ambarish Maharaj, all these great personalities, they have all come to the conclusion that devotional service or bhakti is the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya was so happy to hear this. He told Keshav Bharati, because you have said this, I will remain in the world for some time longer. If you would have said that anything is better than bhakti, on this very day I would have given my life up in the ocean. Meanwhile, all of these devotees who came from Bengal with their wives, they were cooking very nice preparations for Lord Chaitanya and giving them to Govinda. Every day they were asking Govinda, did Lord Chaitanya like what I prepared? Govinda would present the preparation. This was cooked by Balani and Srivas. Lord Chaitanya said, put it in the corner of the room. This was cooked by Advaitacharya and Sita Thakurani. Put it in the corner of the room. Here are the bags of Raghava Pandit cooked by his sister Damayanti. Put it in the corner of the room. Months were going by. Lord Chaitanya did not take anything the devotees were giving to Govinda. Soon, the entire area of the room was completely filled with prasad. Govinda did not want to make the devotees feel bad when they would say, did Lord Chaitanya eat my food? He did not want to say, it's been sitting in the corner for the last couple months. He didn't want to lie to them, and he didn't want to tell them the truth. His heart was in great distress. One day he approached Lord Chaitanya. He said, what should I do, my lord? You're not eating any of their preparations. The whole room is full. They ask me, I don't know what to tell them. Lord Chaitanya said to Govinda, why are you disturbed about things like this? Have you not been with me long enough to know how to deal with these situations? But if you are disturbed, bring it here, all of it. There was enough for hundreds of people. Govinda brought the whole preparations cooked by each devotee. There were so many preparations cooked by each devotee. And with each preparation, he would say the name of the person who gave it. And Lord Chaitanya would give some comment, and Govinda would remember so he could share it with that person. Within a short time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate an entire area of the room full of prasad. Hundreds of times more than what he would ordinarily eat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all opulences. There is no limit to how much he can accept the love of his devotees. Then, at the very end, Govinda brought Raghavera Jali, the bags of Raghava Pandit. Lord Chaitanya said, "I will take them later." Lord Chaitanya the next day went to a secluded place and he opened each and every carefully, lovingly sealed bag of Sri Raghava Pandit, and he took one little morsel from each one. He gave them back to Govinda and said, "Every day for the rest of the year, bring me a part of Raghava Pandit's offering." Throughout the entire year, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating. Swarup Damodar Goswami personally brought another of the bags of Raghava Pandit. What was supernaturally revealed by the Lord, by his miraculous power, is that even though that whole room full of prasad was sitting there for so long, each and every preparation was as fresh as if it was just cooked moments before. Raghava Pandit's bags, even almost a year later, each preparation in those bags was as sweet and fresh as it was just made. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Shivananda Sen came to invite Lord Chaitanya for prasad. "My Lord, please come to my home and make our lives perfect by accepting our prasad." Lord Chaitanya praised the Dvaitacharya. "Anyone who eats the prasad cooked by the loving hands of Sri Advaitacharya will certainly achieve ecstatic love of Krishna." Advaitacharya said, "Then I will make it with my own hands. Please come." Lord Chaitanya said, "I will come today at noon." Advaitacharya, in great happiness, along with his wife Sita Thakurani, began to prepare so many wonderful preparations of prasad. Sweetmeats and sabjis and various types of vegetables. It's explained that Sita, the wife of Advaita, had such love. She had such a desire to please Lord Chaitanya. She just wanted to make exactly what Lord Chaitanya wanted to eat. To reciprocate with her love, Lord Chaitanya personally manifested himself in her heart just to give her the knowledge of what to cook for him that day. She cooked 10 types of shak
just as Lord Chaitanya wanted to eat on that day. Hundreds of preparations she made along with Advaitacharya. As they were cooking, Advaitacharya said, "Today Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to our house. However, wherever he goes for lunch, he brings all the sannyasis to take prasad with him. If all the sannyasis come, they will eat all his remnants and we will not get any." However, it is the fulfillment of all our desires that he's coming to accept our devotion. When all the prasad was prepared and noontime came, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just taken his bath and he was just completing his regular number of rounds that he would count each day of the Maha Mantra. It was at that time that he would go for prasad. Meanwhile, all the sannyasis, they had also just taken their baths and were doing their sadhana. And they were all very eagerly awaiting to go to Advaitacharya's house to take prasad with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But just as the sannyasis were about to leave their respective homes, a great rainstorm came. Torrents of rain was pouring down, flooding the areas. Big ice balls of hail were showering to the ground. There was tumultuous thunder, and the entire sky turned black. No one could possibly move out of their homes. But Advaitacharya's house, there was just fine mist of pleasant rain. And Lord Chaitanya, the path for him to get to Advaitacharya's house, it was the same. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived. Advaitacharya and Sita Thakurani greeted him with great love and respect. They sat him down. There was a big, big mountain of rice covered with fresh golden ghee. So many delicious preparations. Advaitacharya was personally feeding the Lord with his own hands. As soon as Lord Chaitanya would take a little bit and Advaita would fill it up with more. Knowing that Advaitacharya had cooked with such love and how much Advaita would be pleased by him eating, Lord Chaitanya ate what he would usually eat in 10 days. And after finishing, Advaita washed his hands and gave him chewing spices. Then Advaitacharya began to offer prayers to Lord Chaitanya. He happened to choose the prayers that Indra chanted to Krishna in submission. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Why are you today chanting the name, the prayers of Indra?" "I know why. It was your arrangement that these rainstorms came down to the ground. All this hail and darkness and torrents of rain, you made all this happen just because you knew if the sannyasis came, they would eat my remnants and you would get none." "It was your order to Indra to keep all the sannyasis away for you and your wife could eat my prasad. But who could deny your order? Time, yama, and death are under your control. What to speak of some rain?"
Advaitacharya was very pleased and began to dance in ecstatic love, chanting Krishna's holy name. One day, Srila Advaitacharya, he gathered all the devotees together. On this day, he was literally wild with bliss. In a condition of great ecstasy, he began to speak in such a way that no one ever heard before. My dear brothers, today, we will chant the names of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Kirtan. We will not chant one name of any other incarnation of Krishna. Today we will fill the whole universe with the glorification of the holy names of Gauranga. The devotees were very afraid, because Lord Chaitanya would never allow anyone to chant his names. Lord Chaitanya wanted to appear in such a way to give an example to others. In this day and age, there are so many Mayavadis. You are God, I am God, everything is God. Lord Chaitanya taught the real purport of the scriptures, the Siddhanta, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We are all the servants of the Lord. In the role of a devotee, he would only accept the position of being the servant of the servant of the Lord. And if anyone, even his own devotees, except on rare occasions when he would manifest his supreme opulence, if anyone ever called him Vishnu, he would cover his ears. Vishnu, Vishnu, don't contaminate my heart. We are all eternal servants. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict on this principle. Sometimes today we find sadhus, they leave things very vague. Am I God? Am I not God? Are you God? Are you not God? Maybe, maybe not. Nobody knows. One very great Vaishnav, Acharya, told me that he met a very famous guru who has literally millions and millions of followers all over the world. Now this person was a very great scholar of the Vedas, and there was no way any Mayavadi could defeat him. So he was sitting with this one famous person, and he asked, "Are you God or are you the servant of Krishna?" Hare Krishna. Millions of people worship him as Krishna. But this Vaishnava asked him, "Are you Krishna or are you the servant of Krishna?" Now, if this person said, "I am Krishna," he knew all the Vedas would become tumbling upon him to defeat him and annihilate his misconceptions. So he said, "I am the servant of Krishna. But my disciples, they call me Krishna. I don't say I'm Krishna. They say I'm Krishna. What can I do?" Lord Chaitanya was not like that. If anyone called him Krishna or Vishnu, he would hold his ears and scream out, "Vishnu, save me! Never commit this offense again." He would be
rage of anger.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally accepted initiation in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya because Madhvacharya so thoroughly and aggressively defeated the impersonalistic Mayavad conception that the eternal spirit soul can ever become one with God. We are always part and parcel servant of the Supreme Truth.
When Advaitacharya was telling everyone, today we will chant the holy names of Gauranga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only by His mercy that the Sankirtan movement has descended into this world. We have all become glorious and famous due to His kindness. We don't owe anything to anyone else. Let us chant the names of Gauranga. Do not fear. Have nothing to fear. You chant and I will dance. Hariho!
The devotees didn't know what to do. Then Lord Advaitacharya personally began to sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Beautiful verses he composed describing how Lord Gaurasundar is none other than the Supreme Lord Narayan who has descended into this world, and we fallen souls have no other hope than to take shelter of His lotus feet. When the devotees heard Advaita personally singing these verses, they became fearless. Everyone started chanting Advaita's verses. The whole world was filled with the tumultuous roar of Gaur Narayan. That Krishna has appeared in the beautiful golden form of the son of Mother Sachi to distribute to the whole world devotion to Himself. The devotees were dancing like mad and chanting. Lord Chaitanya, from his Gambira, he heard a big, big kirtan going on. So he came, and he stood there, and he heard what they were singing, that he was Krishna. Now, we know the devotees were very fearful of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But on this day, the kirtan became so ecstatic. They were dancing with such enthusiasm. When Lord Chaitanya came, Advaita started dancing with more madness of ecstatic love. And all the devotees, upon seeing Lord Chaitanya, became even more enthused to loudly chant the holy name. But that day they were not chanting the Maha Mantra. You have been tricked. Every other day they would chant Maha Mantra. But this day there was no Maha Mantra. They were chanting Gauranga's holy names. Gauranga! Lord Chaitanya became so ashamed, he immediately ran away back to his room, Gambira. And just to set the example how no one should ever tolerate the misconception that they could ever be called God, he went to sleep. Meanwhile, when the devotees saw this, they became even more ecstatic. They were chanting and chanting and dancing and dancing. Then they decided, let us take the kirtan to Lord Chaitanya's house. the kirtan, as they were chanting Lord Chaitanya's glories, the son of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra is none other than the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who possesses all six opulences. He's like a transcendental lion who has come to destroy all ignorance and bring everyone to the eternal spiritual world. Such beautiful, beautiful songs they were singing. And they came and they had this kirtan right outside of Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's home. Lord Chaitanya laid there pretending to sleep as if he wasn't listening. Then the devotees came and asked Govinda if they could come in. Govinda asked Lord Chaitanya, the devotees would like to come in. Lord Chaitanya said, let them in. Some of them came in, but they were very quiet. They were much fearful. They looked at Lord Chaitanya, but they were in bliss. Lord Chaitanya looked up, and there he saw Srivas Pandit. Srivas, why have you come? You are a great learned scholar. Why have you invented this type of kirtan? Why do you not chant the authorized kirtan of the holy names of Krishna? What do you hope to accomplish by this? Why are you hiding all of your learning by this behavior? Srivas replied by putting his hand as if he were blocking the sun. Lord Chaitanya looked at him. He asked, what are you doing? What reply is this? You are waving your hand in front of the sun. Srivas replied that I am going to cover all the light of the sun with my hand. You have descended to this world to deliver all living beings with your supreme opulences. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it possible for you to cover your supreme all-attractive glories? It will be much easier for me to cover the sun with my hand than for you to cover your divine opulences as Krishna. Just at that time, thousands and thousands of people from the Jagannath temple assembled right outside Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home, and they were all loudly chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord Krishna. Where these people came from, nobody could even know. Srivas Thakur, in much happiness, he said to Lord Chaitanya, just see, my Lord, there are thousands of people chanting your holy names. Now what will you do to stop this? It has been revealed to the world that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the All-Merciful One. Your glories will be chanted from the peaks of the Himalayas down to Setu Banda, throughout the entire world and throughout the entire universe. What will you do to stop it? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great love, said to Shrivas that it is because of you. You have told all these people what they should do. You have conquered me. I am defeated by your love. Lord Chaitanya always finds great pleasure being conquered by the love of his devotees. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, only reveals himself due to the love and the mercy of his devotees. It was Advaitacharya Srivas and the Vaishnava's desire that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's fame be spread. Although he tried his very best to conceal it, they are the ones who revealed his mercy to the whole world. You cannot approach Krishna directly, but through the kind mercy of the devotees, Krishna is revealed in our lives and to the whole world. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained the first and greatest of all religious principles is to serve such devotees and congregationally chant the holy name. One day, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Pandit, which devotees are manifesting their attributes through the heart of Advaita Acharya? Srivas Thakur, with great love for Advaita, replied, Shukadev Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became violently mad with anger. He picked up a stick and he said, you fool! I will punish you, you fool! And he came running at Srivas with a stick to beat him.
Hare Krishna.
At that moment, Advaitacharya stood up and held Lord Chaitanya and said, please, please, do not hit him. Lord Chaitanya said, if the world hears what you have said, you will ruin everything. Advaita said, please, my lord, even if a child makes some mistake, the parents should not punish him so harshly. Then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, Srivas, he said, what you have said is a great offense. Shukadev Goswami, Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they are all eternally the servants of Advaitacharya. He is the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, who has descended to this world. All the great rishis and sages are his eternal servants. Why are you equating them to him? It is only by Sri Advaitacharya's loud calls that I have descended into this world. You should know that he is the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead. Upon hearing this, Srivas, with great thankfulness in his heart, he prostrated himself at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged forgiveness. I am sorry for this mistake. You are so merciful that you have suitably corrected me
And because of the way you corrected me, now I really understand greater than ever the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya.
In this particular instance, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that sometimes the Lord and even great Vaishnavas act very harshly to teach the devotees. But that harshness is actually their great, great mercy. And then an example is given. One time in Naimisharanya, on the banks of the holy river Saraswati, great sages gathered together to discuss the Supreme Truth. They were talking amongst one another of who was the supreme worshipable God. Some said Lord Brahma, some said Lord Shiva, and others said Lord Vishnu. They were quoting various Puranas. In some Puranas it appears that Shiva is supreme. In some Puranas it appears that Vishnu is supreme. Vedavyas compiled 18 Puranas. And then there are other subordinate Puranas. Now, wherever there's teaching of how to worship a particular Ishtadev, it always presents that this is supreme. In order to gain people's faith. However, ultimately, Vedavyas explains, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the origin of all incarnations of the Lord, that all the demigods are his eternal servants, that Krishna is the ultimate supreme. If we understand the spirit in which Vedavyas wrote all the Vedas, this is the only conclusion we can come to. Some Puranas are for those in the mode of ignorance to elevate them to passion. Some for those in the mode of passion to elevate them to goodness, and some in the mode of goodness to elevate them to the transcendental state. It doesn't actually say about various gods that they are the supreme ultimate, but it indicates that, just so that there is faith. So there was this argument of debate going on whether Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva supreme. Because according to the Shastra, there can only be one supreme God. And he is a person. So, Bhrigu Muni, who was himself a great devotee, Bhrigu Muni was constantly meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. He was so humble and so pure. He was the son of Lord Brahma. He was the most fit to perform this difficult mission. First, he went to the abode of Brahma, his father. Brahma was so happy to see his son. He welcomed him with such gracious hospitality. And Bhrigu Muni said nothing to his father and did nothing to show any respect for him. He didn't bow down. He didn't even fold his hands or say a word. Meanwhile, Brahma was saying, "My dear son, so happy to see you." He was being ignored. Brahma became very angry. So Bhrigu was, you see, he became angry. So he left that place. Then he went to Lord Shiva, his brother, who was sitting with his beloved consort, Parvati. When Shiva saw Bhrigu Muni coming, he was so happy. He got up, "Oh, my brother," he came to embrace him. "I'm so happy to see you. Thank you for coming to Sri Kailash Dham." Bhrigu Muni said, "Don't touch me. You are in the mode of ignorance. Look at you. Your body is covered by all these abominable ashes from funeral pyres. You have these ugly skulls hanging like a garland around you. Your hair is never combed. You associate with ghosts and demons. You're contaminated. Don't come near me." Lord Shiva was so insulted, he picked up his trident and was about to punish Bhrigu Muni when Parvati stopped him. Bhrigu Muni left. Then he went to the abode of Lord Vishnu. As he came into the room of Vishnu, Lakshmi Devi was serving his lotus feet with great care. Vishnu got up to receive Bhrigu Muni. But instantly Bhrigu Muni ran up to Lord Vishnu and with his foot kicked Vishnu right in the chest. Vishnu, with folded palms, very sweetly spoke, "Today I am blessed by the dust of your lotus feet." The lotus feet of great sages like you are so pure. It is such a rare fortune to get even a particle of dust from your feet. And today you have so mercifully placed that dust on my chest. In fact, I will keep the footprint of your lotus feet on my chest just to show the whole world the good fortune that I have received. But my only regret is your feet are so soft and my chest is so hard. Perhaps in getting this benediction, I may have hurt your lotus feet." So he placed Bhrigu Muni on a seat and began to massage his lotus feet. Bhrigu Muni understood that Vishnu was the Supreme. When he saw the most gentle and loving behavior of Vishnu, Bhrigu Muni went into ecstasy. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he started dancing with his arms raised, crying out very loudly the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went back to Naimasharanya and explained to all of the devotees and the great sages and rishis, and they all unanimously accepted that Vishnu is the Supreme. And of course we know Krishna and Vishnu are the same person. When Vishnu wants to take an opulent position of Lord and Creator, worship with great reverence, he is Narayan. But when he wants to engage in the most intimate, sweet, loving affairs, appearing to be the friend, the son, or the lover of his devotee, it is only through his supreme original form of Krishna that that is available. The lesson to be learned here is even though Bhrigu Muni was very harsh, actually it was an act of pure love
to glorify Lord Vishnu.
In fact, Lord Vishnu himself entered into the heart of Bhrigu Muni and induced him to kick him, just so that he could show the world his supreme position and also to show the glories of his devotee, Bhrigu Muni. And Brahma and Shiva, actually, they were not even angry. Did you know that? They weren't angry. They pretended to be angry and acted very ferociously angry just because they wanted the whole world to know that Lord Vishnu is their master and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gadadhar Pandit, who was Srimati Radharani herself in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, one day he approached Lord Chaitanya and he said, "The Ishta Mantra that was given to me upon initiation by my Guru Maharaj, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, has not remained properly within my mind. Could you give me this mantra again?" Lord Chaitanya wanted to show how a devotee should be faithful to his guru, and he also wanted to glorify Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He responded by saying, "This would be something very offensive. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a great personality. I consider him my own father. He is worshipable by all. I cannot give you that mantra again. You should only hear that mantra and take that mantra from your own spiritual master. And in a few days, I know that Pundarika Vidyanidhi will come." Gadadhar Pandit was residing at the Tota Gopinath temple. He was always reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every day, and for several hours he would hear Gadadhar Pandit reciting and narrating the stories from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes he would repeat the story of Prahlad Maharaj, and Lord Chaitanya would say, "Speak it again." 100 times in a row, Gadadhar would recite the story of Prahlad or Dhruva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's thirst for hearing the nectar of these pastimes increased unlimitedly, especially when hearing from such a pure-hearted devotee as Gadadhar. There were 3 devotees in Puri that Lord Chaitanya was constantly associating with. One was Gadadhar Pandit, who the Lord loved to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from. Another was Paramananda Puri, a great sannyasi disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who was always absorbed in the deepest meditation